Austria, are you ready?
No! He said, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Welcome, everybody, to Brotherly Love Wrestling, and on our show today, we have from Ring of Honor Wrestling, Bill Carr, a.k.a. Dutch. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me back. Glad to be back. It's exciting. Very exciting.
It sounds weird coming out of your mouth from ROH.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
Well, it was kind of out of the blue. So, I mean, I've been friends with Vincent for a while now, and they had Chuckles, I think, was one of the guys in The Righteous, and he just wasn't, like, a good fit, so there was an open spot, and it just kind of, like I said, came out of the blue, like, hey, if you want this, you know, I know, like, he knows how I am with, like, horror movies and everything, you know, we like the same things. And I've been wanting to do a character like this for literally like the last like 10 years. So I jumped on the opportunity, you know, and then I was told, like, oh, yeah, you're going to be making your debut at the ROH's 19th anniversary pay-per-view. I was like, oh, man, that's a pretty big spot to be in right off the bat. So, yeah, and like I said, everything all came together like real quick and I don't even think I really had time to, like, really, like, soak it in, you know. So, it's been great so far, though.
So, now, what does the other half of Team Tremendous think of this? Where is Dan on this?
Well, I think there's a hit out for my murder at some point. I'm almost positive. But, no, he's been supportive and everything, and, I don't know if you saw his Twitter. He's actually down in Jacksonville for the weekend filming for, I think, AEW Dark, hopefully. I don't know any details yet, but I'm assuming, you know, that, you know, he'll be getting a little bit of an opportunity, which is great. Makes me feel better, so.
Now, is it surprising to you that with so many different wrestling promotions that are going around right now that someone didn't scoop you guys up as a tag team?
You know what? It's weird. Yes and no. Now, let's see. All of 2020, I believe we only had like maybe three matches together. So in my mind, it was kind of like, okay, you know what? No, because, I mean, last September, even August, like, more promotions were opening up and starting to run again, outdoors and everything, with no fans or little fans here and there, and nobody was really, you know, contacting us for anything. So I was kind of like, oh, you know what, maybe this is, you know, the end. Not the end, but maybe we're not as you know, not as popular as I guess we once were, but back in like 2016, I'd say 2015, 2016, probably like the height of our success, you know, doing PWG, CZW, all pretty big indie promotions and everything. You know, my real job got in the way and kind of like really threw a wrench into that. So I don't know. I'd like to go back and like really think that at that point, if that didn't screw things up, I definitely think that we would have gotten picked up at some point. And especially with AEW coming out and everything, literally like 95% of my friends are all there, you know. So mm-hmm. I don't think I think that if we just got the opportunity at that, you know, right time, we might have gotten, you know, picked up by them. But, you know, everything happens for a reason, you know. Maybe it was time to, you know, slow down and go our separate ways. And, you know, it seems like, you know, we're doing pretty good right now. So, yeah. But never say never.
An absent heart grows fonder.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't know if this applies here, but I remember someone saying that once.
I'm going to go ahead and say it does. Yeah, sure.
Thank you for the confidence boost.
Hey, anytime.
Much needed on this Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
So one of the reasons that we definitely wanted to talk to you, and because of the connections that we all have together and we have had all of you guys on the show, is a match you have coming up on June 27th against Hale Collins at Northeast Wrestling. So as soon as we saw that, I sent it to Joe immediately. I go, yo, look at the match. Look at this match.
As soon as he sends me things, whatever the poster is, I immediately go into Google Maps and I'm like, how far is this away from where I'm at right now? And if it's usually like within that 2 hour frame, I'm like, all right, now I can really see this happening. But I think it was like 3.5-4 hours or something.
I don't think it's too far from me, but I know it's like, what I'm trying to think of a map, the directions east or west, I guess. East? I don't know. But it looks like it's pretty east out there. But I'm looking forward to that, not only for the match, but also I get to wrestle it like a square dancing bar / restaurant / rodeo. So I'm excited for that too.
Mm-hmm.
Please tell me you're coming out in chaps.
Of course.
No, better have Hale come out in chaps.
Yeah, we can do that too. We can make that work.
Now, I mean, have you wrestled Hale one-on-one?
Not one-on-one. Our first, I remember our first time we were in the ring with each other, I believe it was my first match, which was a battle royal for Northeast Wrestling. And we knew each other and we were kind of friendly at that point, but, you know, weren't as close as we were now, obviously. And I remember I just like looked at him and just gave him the stiffest forearm I'd ever given anybody. And he gave it right back, and then we kind of just, I think that was our only interaction there. But that was fun. I also, I punched Jerry Lawler in the face for real during that match too, which I just saw him standing there. I mean, I didn't really know. I'm brand new at the time, and I see Jerry Lawler like not really interacting with anybody. So I'm like, oh, now's my shot to, you know, work with a Hall of Famer. So I spun him around and threw a punch, and I saw that he like went to go block it. I assumed that was going to happen. He was going to block it and then punch me. But he put his hand up way too late, and I just punched him right in the face. And then he turned around and just walked away from me.
So completely no-sold it.
Completely no-sold it. Yeah, so there was that. I believe I did a tag match with him again for Northeast Wrestling. I don't know when. It was pretty shortly after I got released from WWE. But I remember it was me and QT Marshall against Dale and Hale. And and I think this Connecticut-based wrestler, Nocturne, I think, was his name. I know he did like a Misfits gimmick where he painted his face like a skeleton.
Sort of like a Darby Allin type thing?
Yes, except way worse.
Okay.
Wait, that was Hale's tag team partner?
Yeah, it was just like a match that was kind of like thrown together. It was, I believe that's on YouTube, actually. I think if you just type in like Bill Carr versus Hale Collins, that's probably the first match that pops up. But that was fun from what I remember. But my favorite match that I had against Hale, and I think we had four. So two of my favorite matches he was involved in, was a six-man. It was me and Dan and Brodus Clay against the Now and Val Venus.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that was a doozy. So that was.
Did you and Dan come out as Naomi and
the Funkadactyls?
No, but that would have been amazing. I wish I thought of that then.
Damn it, where was I?
Yeah. Yep. And then the last match we had together was at City Field when they did a big time wrestling, I think, did a show there. But we were on the first half of the show. I think we main evented the first half of the show. And it was me and Dan against Hale and Slick Wagner Brown. And right before we were about to go out, Tommy Dreamer, who was like helping book the show, was like, "Hey, you guys got to cover 45 minutes out there." We're like, "What?" Like, we called like an 8-minute match. So we still have that 8-minute match, and we're just standing in the ring, and then all of a sudden, like, people started coming out, and there was an impromptu battle royal that took place that we just kept putting Dale on my shoulders and hitting our finish on Dale over and over and over and over. And he claims that that's why his hip is all screwed up and out of place and everything. So, which, you know, it could quite possibly be. But yeah, that was our last match together, and I am really looking forward to this one, June 27th at the Cadillac Ranch for Northeast Wrestling.
In Cadillac Ranch, jeez.
Is that going? Do we know if that's going to be like we going to get a live stream of that anywhere? Or
if it's not live, it's definitely going to be put on High Spots. Because I think Northeast Wrestling, all their stuff is put on High Spots eventually. So mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
I'm going to need you to do us a solid since we're not going to make the 4-hour drive.
Mm-hmm. Understandable.
Can you FaceTime us while you're in the match?
Of course.
That shouldn't be too hard.
I mean, I think that would be perfect.
Oh, yeah. That's fine with me.
So are you guys going to prep for this match? Or are you guys going to put together like what's the freaking New Japan venue?
Tokyo Dome.
Tokyo Dome 5-Star Classic?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Right there in the Cadillac Ranch. this will be a Cadillac Ranch 5-Star Classic.
I feel like you and Hale, though, because you guys are both, like, horror nuts. Mm-hmm. Are you guys gonna put together any inside, like, horror movie...
I don't know. Maybe I'll just start cutting them open for real and see what happens. You know?
You know what always scared the shit out of me as a kid was Puppet Masters.
Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
When the dude's asleep and the guy with the screw thing on his head, when he's sleeping, he fucking screws his head in. That was what scared the shit out of me as a kid. I was
that's pretty traumatizing.
I was like 5 or 6, and my cousins made me watch it. They're all like 3-4 years older than me.
Uh-huh.
Nightmares for like
years. I bet. Growing up, my cousins lived right around the corner from me, and every Friday night I would sleep over their house or vice versa, and we'd always rent movies that we shouldn't be watching at, you know, 7 and 8 years old. But I distinctly remember Jason Takes Manhattan. I remember that one. Tales from the Hood. I don't know why we were allowed to watch that, but we did.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff that
we watched. Yeah, my first introduction was Nightmare on Elm Street, and that one didn't bug me out as much as Puppet Masters. I think it was the whole toy thing.
Yeah.
And I had toys, and I think that's what resonated with me. The whole guy in my dreams, like, I could sleep through anything.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
He didn't scare me yet. It was the fucking toys.
The same thing with Child's Play. I couldn't do Child's Play. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
See, that one didn't bother me either. I thought that was more funny. But oh, no. Yeah. When he suffocates the guy, when he puts the bag over the guy's head when he's driving, that scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
In Child's Play.
So
shit's so real.
Bill, I do want to ask. I do want to ask you, Bill. Is there anybody or any movie that you kind of draw from for your character in Ring of Honor?
Oh, let's see. There's a lot. So Devil's Rejects is one. You know, I pretty much that whole. Pretty much any Rob Zombie movie. He has, you know, kind of the same mindset as I do when it comes to, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Devil's Rejects is definitely up there. Texas Chainsaw Massacre is another one. But even like the way that I'm, you know, trying to portray my character, you know, watching a lot of like Jason, like Kane Hodder, who played Jason from, I think, six on or five on. Just the way that he moves mm-hmm. and the way he stands and looks and everything. I kind of, you would think that's easy just by looking at him. Oh, I can mimic that, you know, no problem. But it really, it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough to kind of like get certain movements down and just posture and everything. But yeah, that's what I'm trying to go for right now. But it's, like I said, it's a lot harder than I thought it would be. I thought I'd just be able to go in there and do it, but no. I'm also fat, too, and I get really tired really quick, so that doesn't help either.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, because you're very methodic about it. I mean, like you said, it comes off like you said with Jason and like that, because it's just, it is very slow and very, like I was trying to describe this character to my wife, because she was asking, oh, well, who you have on? I said, well, it's Bill that we've talked to before, but he has a new character, a new company. And that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, well, think of like the horror movie and any villain in a horror movie, how they just walk towards you. And they don't have to run. They don't, you know what I mean? They eventually get to you anyway. But I was like, that's what his character is. Very quiet, just standing menacingly behind in the back. Like it's just.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Yeah, it's fun though. It's good.
What was your mindset going into that, as opposed to like where you came from? Because you came from, you were doing tag team wrestling with Dan. I mean, like, what was your mindset coming into it? Like, did you have to? Was it something completely new to get used to?
You know what? Yes, because I've been doing that for so long, and let's see, since. Honestly, since I got released back in 2011 and moved back up here, the amount of singles matches I've had, I could probably count on both hands, because I, you know, me and Dan linked up almost immediately and we're tagging. And I was also tagging with Bull James for a year or two. And we were just kind of going back and forth and I, you know, realized that the Team Tremendous gimmick was getting way more over than we were. And eventually he got signed anyway, so it was kind of good to, you know, an excuse to break away from that and really focus on Team Tremendous. But yeah, I've haven't had many singles matches in quite some time. So it's gonna be a test, which is good. I'm glad, because I haven't been able to do this in a long time. So thoughts and like different ideas have been constantly running through my head, which I haven't had that in a long time, because doing tag team wrestling and doing it for as long as we were, like I can show up to a show that I know Dan is going to be late at or vice versa, and I can call a match without him there. You're like, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is what he's going to do. And everything flows perfectly. So it's kind of doing the same stuff over and over and over again. So now, like I said, I have these constant ideas flowing and everything. So it's giving me a little more freedom to focus on what I want to do and how I want to do things myself, you know, as a single wrestler now. But I'm also still going to be tagging with Bateman as part of the group too, mm-hmm. and also Vincent too. So, you know, it's really exciting. You know, again, it's something new for me, and it's something I've been wanting to do for so long, and I finally get to test it out, and just so happens to be on the stage that it is, Ring of Honor, you know. And it's like, to me, I feel like I got in at the perfect time, you know, right when fans are going to be starting coming back, right? You know, things are opening up now. So we've been doing the TV tapings with no fans for the last few months now. And now July 11th, Best in the World, their first pay-per-view in Baltimore. It's their first show with fans. And it's the first time I'm going to be with fans live, and the fans are going to see me live for the first time. And that's really, really exciting to me, because I haven't had that in well over probably a year and a half, I think, you know, at least.
Dale,
I think it's,
go ahead, Joe.
I think it's also good timing because the company is sort of taking a shift back to some of its like old habits and its old ways, but they're also trying to set themselves apart from the competition, from the other companies. They're trying to do new things. And I mean, bringing you in with the Righteous, I mean, that's something that isn't really being done to this extent in any other company, as well as like all the technical wrestlers that they have. They're beefing up the women's division now. So, I mean, they're starting to evolve more, and they're starting to become a bigger and better promotion, because they were
limbo,
yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like once like all the big guys left, like the Bucks, Cody, once they went on to form AEW, it seemed like there was that, you know, year and a half there that it was kind of okay. What are we gonna do? And then the pandemic happened, and it seemed like it was, as awful as it sounds, it's like a blessing in disguise that this did happen, because then you can sit down and be like, okay, what are we going to do to make this better? Because right now, wrestling is the best it's ever been, at least, you know, in my generation. I mean, you could say the Monday Night Wars.
What the fuck were you watching?
The less popular war is the Midnight Wars.
Yeah, absolutely. but I guess you could say that. But I mean, now, like, you have WWE, obviously. You have AEW, where they are giving so many opportunities for a lot of people to just get exposure on television. You also have Impact, which, you know, also has the working relationship with AEW as well as New Japan, and you have Ring of Honor, who has a working relationship with New Japan as well as Mexico. So you have all these different promotions like kind of working together that have ties but haven't really like jumped in the deep end with it yet. And I feel like that is going to be coming soon, where all these different companies are going to get on one page and be like, okay, you know what, like, we have freedom to do whatever we want with each other. So why not take advantage of that right now and see how it goes? You know, so there's a lot of different places right now where you can go work. And even like people are saying like the indies are dead or they're dying or whatever. I don't think they're dead. It's definitely not what it was, because a lot of people got scooped up all at once.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people. But now this is giving a lot of opportunities to a lot of other people who were maybe overshadowed by certain people and are being able to see what they can do on, you know, decent sized platforms. And from what I've seen from like some of those GCW shows, Beyond Wrestling, you know, there's a lot of good talent out there that has been around for a while, but you just never really saw them because they were never given a chance, because the indies were oversaturated, I guess, with such good talent, which isn't a bad thing at all. But like I said before, a lot of those people got scooped up, and they got scooped up quick. So now it's time for these younger guys and girls to really go out there and show what they're capable of doing. And I think that's what they are doing. So that's also exciting.
So, in your opinion, you said about everyone working together. Mm-hmm. What do you think is I mean, I think we all believe we know what is holding WWE back from doing that, and that's one man, that's Vince. Mm-hmm. But do you think that WWE will ever, and they always seem to be late to the party with a lot of things, where yeah. you have AEW doing certain things and then they follow yeah. up, or no matter what, they're always late. So do you think it's only a matter of time where Vince and Hunter and all them have to go, look, everyone's doing it, and that's why there's this rumor about them talking to New Japan? Do you think mm-hmm. they eventually will do that?
I hope so. I really do. Because, again, that'll open up so many doors for so many other things to happen. But now, I don't obviously don't know what's going on over there, but it really seems with all these cuts and there's, you know, switch to from the WWE Network merging with NBC, them on Fox in a primetime slot on Fridays, and with all these cuts, they could possibly be bought. They could possibly be up for sale. And I think that maybe their main focus right now is money, because I think last year they brought in so much more money than they ever did.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, I think in Vince McMahon's eyes, he just sees the money and says, like, okay, well, we're making this amount of money hand over fist. Why do we need to partner with anybody else
mm-hmm.
if we're making this money ourselves? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I hope that one day maybe that door will open up, but I don't see it happening anytime soon, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a good thing, too, because now if they don't, everybody else can.
Yeah.
And everybody else could be on that same page together, you know? So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. So now you obviously we've been saying how you joined the Righteous and that your introduction to ROH, did it make it easier, and is it making it easier to kind of ease your way into ROH when you have Bateman and Vincent and Vita and them all being able to kind of help you out a little bit? Even though, I mean, obviously you're a veteran of the wrestling business, not like you're new, but at least with that company and helping you kind of ease your way in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, on bigger promotions like that, you know, working in arenas and everything, I've only done, you know, a few things for WWE, and being backstage at those shows, it's like, okay, I have to shake everybody's hand, introduce myself to everybody, don't look anybody in the eye, go stand in this corner, make sure that nobody sees me. You know, it's a really stressful environment, and they play a lot of mind games and everything. You know, one specific time for me, and I was under contract at the time, and came home for like Christmas break, I think, and we had like a week off so we could come back home, and Raw was up in Albany, and I asked, somebody if I could just, you know, go up there and just hang out. And they're like, yeah, absolutely. Just show up. They know who you are. You'll be good. So I get up there and was told, oh, okay, just go tell Mark Carano that you're here. So I go to his office, knock on the door. I hear him say, come in. Open up the door. I walk in. Looks at me, starts screaming at me. He's like, what the hell are you doing? Walking in unannounced, you know, not knocking, all this and that. Laurinaitis was here, he'd be fired on the spot. Go in outside my door, and I'll come outside when I'm ready. So I'm like, what the hell just happened? Like, what was that? Like, I knocked, you told me to come in, and now you're telling me that, you know, I'm almost getting fired for not knocking. So he made me wait outside of his door for 2 hours before he came out. And came outside, opened up the door. He's like, oh, okay, you're here. Just go put your bag somewhere. And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? So they play a lot of mind games. And he just got recently let go. And I don't like people losing their job, but I'm not mad
yeah.
or upset that he got fired. Everything that you read on this guy is 100% true. He's not a good person at all. And yeah, it's just, it's a stressful, stressful environment because it's like you're constantly walking on eggshells back there, and it's not a healthy
mindset,
mindset at all. And you talk to a lot of these guys that have been released, you know, you like EC3, for example, you know, he's a good friend of mine, and this is the second time they did this to him. And I mean, the guy looks like that. He's great on the mic. He's good in the ring. What he's doing now is unbelievable. And to just let him go like that, you know, that really, you know, screws people up, you know. But Ring of Honor is the complete opposite. It's like you are welcomed in as a family and no stress. You know, just go about your business. Do what you want to do. And, you know, make sure you're there on time. Make sure you do what you're told. And that's that. And yeah, like I was a little nervous. Just, you know, like I said, it's a bigger company, and you know, I'm kind of coming in almost given a spot already. Mm-hmm. So in my mind, I'm like, shit, you know, like maybe people could take this the wrong way. Like, who is this guy coming in? You know, I've been trying to get a spot here, like a lot of the dojo students and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who did like the prospect tournament and stuff, and people that have done extra work for them. Like, who's this guy debuting on the second biggest pay-per-view of the year and coming in, given a spot right off the bat in, you know, a pretty high-end storyline, you know? But it was the complete opposite. You know, everybody has been awesome there, and I hope that I'll be able to work there for a very long time, because it's just, it's made me so happy. Much happier, and like I said, it's just an awesome environment to be a part of.
Well, and yeah, go ahead.
Yep. No, go ahead, Larry.
You talked about EC3 and this the Free Your Narrative, and we saw you tweeted out a picture with you sitting in front of the screen that says Free Your Narrative.
Yes, so that was a really, really cool thing that we did. So. It's kind of like a hybrid between a wrestling show and a movie. This what him and this guy JC did. It just got released on Vimeo last week, so you can rent it there. It's supposed to be on Amazon Prime soon.
Okay.
But it's yeah. It kind of it's. I don't, you know what? It's so hard to explain, but it's so awesome and such a cool, like such a cool experience, such a cool way to produce wrestling. Like, I know, like the cinematic matches and everything are kind of hit or miss, but this is just—it's like a cinematic wrestling show, from start to finish. It's like you're watching a movie, but there's wrestling matches in it. And, it's I suggest you go out and just give it a watch. You know, it's awesome. I think the soundtrack actually just got released today too, which is cool. You know, but there's you could rent that on Vimeo, freethenarrative.com, where there's also merchandise for each guy that performed on the show too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Were you on it?
Yes. So I was, I play my own, William is what they called me, which is my own name, which is good. It's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's kind of like my character is, in a way, it's like parts of it are real and parts of it are kind of just really over-exaggerated and cinematic. But like my character is kind of like somebody who just is fed up with just the day-to-day life of just getting up, going to work, and punching in, and just seeing all these miserable people and being miserable yourself. So, like, the whole point of my character, I believe, is I want somebody to try and kill me, pretty much, essentially.
Jesus. Like,
yeah, it's pretty deep, but...
Hmm.
Yes. So it's Yeah, that's pretty much it. I want to die.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not so by.
It's kind of not... like I challenge you, like I dare you to try, like end my life.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like that.
Damn.
You
know,
not with bees though, right?
No. You don't want those bees. Highly allergic.
He can't see without his glasses.
A little bastard. If only he had his EpiPen on, he would have been fine.
Yeah, he would have been good. Yeah. That would have been it.
Yeah. That would have been it at all. Yeah.
They would have made 20 more freaking movies.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Can we make a request that you pay homage to Dan somehow in a My Girl reference on ROH?
Possibly.
I know it would only pop maybe six people, but it
still
would be worth it.
That's all right. We got Danny Limelight, who was on Primetime Live and on AEW at the same night, to do the Rick Rude hip swivel and blow a kiss for us, and he said he was gonna do it on our show and then did it. And it was the coolest thing in the world. Just something that small for him to do in a match was amazing.
That's great.
To say that we made that happen is awesome.
Absolutely. I'll see what I can do. Maybe I'll do it on the pay-per-view and get fired after that.
Don't do that. We want to see you work in a while. Don't do that.
Why is this guy pulling out a live beehive? What's his angle here? Dude, I don't know. I think that might work. How's it been working with Bateman? Because he seems like, I mean, character work and whatnot, he seems like he's out there to begin with.
Oh, he's great. Yeah, character wise there's not really much. That's him. So
that's it. Looks like it's natural for him.
No, yeah, 100%. He's amazing. He's one of the most underrated guys on the microphone. Like, what you're like in the next few episodes coming up for Ring of Honor, he gets a little more opportunity to talk, which is great. But yeah, he's awesome. And he's another guy. We have the same mindset. We watch the same movies. And he's just really good. He's good in the ring. He's good in the mic. He's a good person. He's good to hang out with and just bullshit with for hours on end. And he's funny as hell, too. But like I said, what you see on television is not too far off of how he is in real life. So
I can only imagine what funny to you is, because
yeah,
you've got a unique sense of humor.
A little bit.
I completely get it. I understand
it. Yeah.
I feel like I'm in the minority there.
Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah, like, bad things happening to people make me laugh, so.
I think the thing that got Joe the most that is something that you said, it wasn't even on our show, so you were kind enough to give us a video for our 200th episode. and do a video for us. And the second you start talking about CTE is real, got him so bad that he was in tears. Like, it was so funny to both of us.
Then, yeah, because it ended with, yeah, I guess.
That's it.
Yeah.
It was the truth. It was like his. I guess this. Don't do drugs. I mean,
that's it, pretty much. Yeah, you know, it's a real thing. It sucks.
Just nonchalantly, like, I mean, don't do it.
No. Just not today.
Bill, thank you so much for sitting down with us and talking with us. It's always a blast to talk to you. And again, thank you again for contributing to the 200th episode. It means a lot to us. And it's great to see you landing with a company and this character and in this stable, because it's already been a cool stable, and adding you just makes it more entertaining, at least definitely for us.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So, Frieda Narrative.
Definitely Brotherly Love fan favorite.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, fantastic.
So, Frieda Narrative's coming out. We got to look for that. You have June 27th, obviously, against Hale Collins for Northeast Wrestling. Can't wait for that. And and then the pay-per-view coming up.
Yeah, the pay-per-view, I believe, this is airing on Friday, right?
This show will air on Wednesday. We'll drop this on Wednesday. Yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so today's Monday right now.
Yes.
And tickets just went on sale to the general public for Best in the World. Mm-hmm. And if you're in the Baltimore area or wherever, feel like driving or taking an airplane or a boat or a scooter or if you have wings, if you have wings, just fly. You can fly there. So, yeah, tickets just went on sale to the general public, and hopefully they don't last long.
Yes.
So get them while you can.
I have a feeling this one's going to be a sellout.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the first show with fans back for Ring of Honor, and like we've got such a good roster right now, and there's a lot of cool things going, and I really do believe that this will sell out, and I really hope it does because I'm going to soak it all in.
Now, is there anything mentioned for you guys at the pay-per-view yet?
Not yet. In the upcoming episodes on television, I think maybe we'll see.
Well, if not, hopefully we'll be seeing you in August. And if you're coming to 2300 Arena, we will definitely be there for Ring of Honor. So, say what's up in person.
Beautiful.
So, Bill, thanks so much again. It was great, always a blast talking to you, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Have a great night.
Yep.